Luke chapter 15, and we'll read all of the chapter just now, a well-known chapter. Luke chapter 15, which contains, as you can see, three parables. Well, let us hear God's own holy word. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him, that is, Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Amen. May God bless that reading of his own holy word. Well, congregation, as you know, we're working our way through Psalm 23. So if you turn in your Bibles once again to that psalm, our focus this morning will be on the third verse. But why don't we read the entirety of the psalm once again just now? And hopefully by the end of the psalm, if you don't already know it by memory, you will be able to recite it from memory at the end of these studies. It'd be a good exercise for all of us to seek to memorize this psalm, rivet it to our minds. But we'll read it again just now. Psalm 23, the Lord, the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, I read about a godly shepherd from the Scottish Highlands. Whenever he went out to take care of his sheep, he would always take his young daughter with him. And the thing she enjoyed most of all when she was with her father was hearing him calling the sheep, which would always come to him when they heard his voice. Well, as the years passed, that young girl, she grew up to be a beautiful young woman. And she finally left the family home to go to live in the capital city of Scotland, Edinburgh. And she started out there to make a life on her own. And at first, she wrote home to her parents every week, but over time, her letters began to drop off, and soon she stopped writing to them altogether. Well, eventually, rumors filtered back to her parents that she'd got herself involved with some rather unsavory characters, and she was mixed up in many things that she ought not to have been. And understandably, when her parents heard that, they were very concerned. So her father, he decided to go to the city of Edinburgh to look for her. And for days on end, he searched for his daughter. Looked in the slums, the rows of houses, the markets, the taverns, and everywhere in between, but all to no avail. After all of his searching, he became very discouraged with the thought that he had lost his daughter to the evils of the city. Not knowing what else to do, he prepared to leave Edinburgh to go home once again. But as he was packing his things, he remembered to himself how his daughter always loved to hear the voice of her father, the shepherd, calling out to the sheep. And so he determined to look for her again one last time. And so, motivated by his sorrow and his love for his daughter, he began to walk those same streets again, going up and down and ringing out with his voice the shepherd's call. The people who heard at him, as you would expect, they looked at him as though he had lost his mind. But he wasn't going to give up. And so he carried on calling out as though he was calling for his sheep. And as he began to walk the streets, one of the slum areas he had been in previously, his voice, it was heard in one of those houses there, where his daughter was sitting in the company of those who had led her astray. And with great astonishment on her face, she heard that call of the voice of the shepherd, the voice of her father calling out to her. And she leaped up from her seat and she rushed out into the street with tears running down her eyes. And she ran into the arms of her old father the shepherd. And he held her there in his arms, and they both wept together. And then he took her back home to the Highlands of Scotland, where she was brought back to God and a life of decency and modesty. Well, as I read that story, I was thinking about the beautiful words that are in the verse we want to look at this morning from Psalm 23, where David speaks of the Lord as the good shepherd who restores the souls of his people and leads them in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. So this morning I want to take as our theme the good shepherd as our restoring shepherd. And we'll look firstly at the restoring work of the good shepherd. And then secondly, we'll look at the paths in which he leads his sheep. Well, firstly then, let us consider the restoring work of the good shepherd. And David here is expressing his own personal experience of this work of restoration. For David, as you know, he knew the folly of wandering from God, and also all of the pain that caused. And he knew what it was also to be cast down and dejected in life, as we were singing, and to feel hopeless and helpless at times because of the power of sin, the bitter effects that it has upon the soul. But you see, all of the Lord's people know of these things. They are very conscious of what Isaiah reminds us of, that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And of what Jeremiah reminds us, that it is an evil and a bitter thing to forsake the Lord our God. And you see, if there's one thing then that the people of God know to be true of themselves, it is just how much they do need the restoring work of the good shepherd. They've discovered, as any shepherd will tell you, that they are just like sheep, which are more prone to stray from a right path than any other animal. For you see, the desire to do our own thing, to go our own way in life, it's always there. And if it's not kept in check, we will find ourselves wandering continually into the ways of sin, into what John Bunyan speaks of as bypath meadow. And you see, that is what is so wonderful about the loving heart of our good shepherd. He seeks out the lost sheep that has wandered out of the way so that he can restore it once again to the flock. That's what we were reading earlier in Luke chapter 15, the way in which the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep in the wilderness to go looking for that one sheep that has strayed so that he can bring it back to where it ought to be. And that's the central picture here in Psalm 23, where David is speaking about the Lord restoring his soul. It's a picture of a sheep that has wandered away and become separated from the flock and God in itself lost. The word translated here as restore, it literally means he causes me to return, or he brings me back. And it's used then in the sense of restoring something back to its true condition or proper place where it had formerly been and needs to be for its well-being and security. And while many animals seem to have inborn compasses, which enable them to find their own way back to their home or place of safety, that's not the case with sheep. For once a sheep has lost its way, the shepherd is the one who must go and find it and bring it back. And oftentimes the sheep wanders out of the way because it has taken its eyes off the shepherd as he seeks to lead the sheep. And often it's gone in its own way in search of what it thinks will be good for it. And what can often happen to the sheep in this situation is what shepherds refer to it as becoming cast down. Because you see, when a sheep wanders in search of grass to eat and it feeds itself, it will then go to lie down in what looks like a comfortable spot in a little hollow or depression in the ground. And then it will roll over on its side to stretch out and relax. But you see, being in a hollow, the sheep's center of gravity can suddenly shift, pitching it onto its back so that its feet no longer touch the ground. And in spite of all the sheep's best efforts then, in that situation to get back up again, it simply cannot regain its footing without the help of the shepherd. And of course, when a sheep finds itself in that predicament, it becomes easy prey for any kind of predator that might come along. And so the sheep is completely hopeless and helpless. And to make matters worse, the sheep will often panic, and it will start to struggle and flail, and all the while it's doing that, the gas from the fermenting food it's been eating begins to build up in its stomach. And then it starts to fill up, just like a balloon blowing up. And you see, that in turn then puts pressure in the vital organs of the sheep, because the blood supply to them is now being cut off. And the sheep then, it finds it harder and harder to breathe. And the circulation to its legs and its hooves, it begins to be cut off as well. I understand if it's a cool or cloudy or rainy day, a sheep cast down in that position, it can survive for perhaps a day or two. But if it's a very hot day, as it would have been in the part of the world where David was speaking, that sheep will be in a critical condition within a few hours. And you see then, if the shepherd doesn't arrive on the scene very quickly, that sheep will inevitably die. For he is the only one who can get it back up on its feet and restore it to health and strength. And what David is saying here then, in verse 3, is that so often we can find ourselves just like a cast down sheep. We can find ourselves on our backs, spiritually speaking, flailing around hopelessly, because we have chosen to take our eyes off the Good Shepherd as he seeks to lead us in the way that he has determined is best for us. And we go our own way in life. And when we find ourselves in that condition, God is the only one who can come and pick us up again and set us our feet back on solid ground by restoring and reviving our souls. And you see, that's what's so amazing about our Good Shepherd. He knows just how prone we are to wander and get ourselves into a bind because of our sinful folly and stupidity and the waywardness of our hearts. And yet when we do fall and we don't know how to get back up on our feet again, he comes to us again and again and again in his love to restore us. He doesn't abandon us and leave us to simply fend for ourselves. He actively seeks us out to renew us and get us back on track, spiritually speaking. Isn't that what we read last week in Ezekiel chapter 34? Where God says these words, "I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will seek what was lost and will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the broken and strengthen the weak." Because you see, the Good Shepherd is in the business of taking what is lost and on its last legs, so to speak, to restore it and make it new again. And yes, he may well discipline and correct an erring sheep as needed. But that's what's so wonderful about our shepherd. He will always bring back his wandering sheep. And my dear friend, you may have taken a wrong turn in life, and now you find yourself feeling scared and lost perhaps. You're in a place of danger or pain or shame and regret because of your sin, just like the prodigal son we read of. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, how could I have been so stupid? How could I ever have wandered so far from the Lord? And maybe you're feeling the weight of the guilt of your sin pressing in on your soul. And now you're asking, how could God ever forgive me? How could he ever restore the likes of me? Well, know this. There is a good shepherd who says to you, I will restore your soul. Because I am the one who has come to seek and to save that which was lost, to bring it back to God. My dear friend, there's no hole so deep then that he can't bring you up out of it. And there's no situation so hopeless that he cannot deal with it. And he wants to restore you and bring you back to full, complete fellowship with God. For that's the very mandate he was given by the Father. Will you not cry out to him then, whatever hole you may be in? Cry out to him in repentance to do in you and for you what he alone can do. For my dear friend, as we read, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. And problems in life are not the real problem then, as one author says. But the problem is trying to cope with problems on our own, with our own resources and in our own strength or weakness, without the help of the shepherd. Well, maybe that is where you find yourself this morning. Just like a lost sheep that has gone astray and is in desperate need of restoration. Perhaps your problem is of a different nature. Maybe you haven't strayed from God because of sin, but you're just finding the way difficult. And you're feeling loaded down with burdens of one kind or another. And so you don't need to be restored to the flock. You just need your soul restored in the sense that you need your depleted and flagging spirit revived again so that you can keep going in the direction you know your shepherd wants to lead you. Well, then this verse is good news for you also. Because you see, it doesn't just speak to the wandering sheep. It also addresses the sheep who are in the fold, who are maybe beginning to lose heart. Perhaps that's where you find yourself this morning. Maybe it's because of some hardship or difficulty you're currently experiencing. Perhaps it's because of a setback or physical or emotional illness. Or it could be that you're dealing with some problem in your family. Or you're stressed out because of a strained relationship with your spouse or your children, or maybe even a parent. Or perhaps it's just the daily grind of life, getting up every morning and getting out of bed and going to your work or taking care of your children. That's what's draining you of spiritual life and vitality. And so you desperately need your depleted reserves replenished. You need to get refueled spiritually. These are all situations that can make spiritual and emotional restoration a daily necessity. But you see, this verse is also meant to be a reminder to us that our Good Shepherd is always on hand to restore and heal our souls by His grace in whatever situation we may find ourselves in. You see, our loving Shepherd, He wants to reassure us that His grace is always sufficient for us, and He can pour His grace into our hearts then to revive us and enable us to catch our breath again, to renew us inwardly so that we can get back into the fight and keep on keeping on. And so, child of God, if you're feeling cast down in your spirit, flagging in your spirit, well, go to your Good Shepherd then, day by day, and meet with Him at a throne of grace so that you may find the grace you need to persevere, to keep plodding on when the going gets tough. As we said on Thursday evening, we have a compassionate high priest who not only can but does sympathize with us in all our weakness. And therefore He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, our Good Shepherd has been appointed to carry out the work of restoring His sheep then. But remember, just like any shepherd, He always works with purpose, with intention. And His purpose in restoring the sheep is so that He can go on leading them in the paths of righteousness, so that they can walk before God in the light of the living. As David says so beautifully at the end of Psalm 53. And that brings us then in the second place to now look at the paths in which the Good Shepherd leads His sheep. And they're described by David here as paths of righteousness. You see, David knew as a shepherd just how much a sheep does need to be constantly led to prevent it from getting into harm. But more importantly, as a sinner, David knew just how much the people of God need to be constantly led if it is to be well with their souls. You see, our tendency, as we have already said, and as every child of God knows only too well by experience, is to constantly wander out of the way that is right, to seek out our own paths in life. But the problem is that when we do that, we get stuck in all kinds of predicaments and places we should never find ourselves in, and we would never have had to have been in if we had been closely following the shepherd. And we follow our own ways to our own detriment then. That's what the writer of the book of Proverbs reminds us. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And my dear friend, have you set out on following your own judgment and your own imagined wisdom in life, and you decide to run your own life independent of God? That is the way that you will go. And it will only bring death and destruction into your life. And ultimately it will bring you to eternal ruin. But that's not what God wants for you or I. Which is why He has appointed Christ to be our Good Shepherd in life, to lead us and guide us in the way that is right for our own good and for His glory. But you see, we must be prepared to follow Christ as He leads in the paths of righteousness, if we would enjoy life as God always intended it to be lived. And the problem with many of us can be that we want to stop short with restoration. We don't want to go on to righteousness. To follow on to know the Lord and walk with Him closely day by day in a way that is pleasing to Him. Well, the goal of the Good Shepherd in everything He does in leading His sheep is to lead them in paths of righteousness, or more literally, in right paths. In other words, He will always seek to lead His people in the right way, or the way that He knows is best for them. And that is His prerogative. And we should count it as a privilege to be led by Him, that he does take such a care and a concern for us and such an interest in us. And my dear friend, you can be assured, if you are following your shepherd in the direction He leads, He will never take you on a wrong path. Never. And remember again, sheep don't have very good eyesight. As I understand it, they can't see more than about 15 yards ahead of them. So they need to be constantly led. They need a good shepherd who can see the way ahead and who knows the terrain. And who knows exactly, therefore, where to lead them and when. Given that sheep have such poor eyesight, it's absolutely imperative that they do stay close to the shepherd at all times so that they can observe Him and listen out for His voice, calling them to follow them in the paths that He marks out for them. And the same is true for us. If we want to know the joy of walking in close fellowship and communion with God, then it's absolutely imperative that we stay close to our divinely appointed shepherd and that we keep in step with Him at all times as He leads us. And He will always lead us in the well-trodden paths of holiness, or what Isaiah refers to as the highway of holiness, in which we're told we shall not go astray, or what Jeremiah calls the old paths, where the good way is, which if we walk in it, we will find rest for our souls. And that's what we need to understand, like these paths of righteousness. They are the proven paths of holiness that God Himself has marked out for us in His own Word. And you and I were not called then to chart out our own course in life. We're simply called to follow the way that has already been mapped out for us by God. A way that has been tried and tested by all of God's people for millennia. The word here for paths, it comes from a Hebrew noun, which actually means an entrenchment caused by wagon wheels. That means it refers to wagon tracks or the well-worn paths that the wheels of a wagon would create over time as wheel after wheel would pass over the same ground, wearing out a smooth path which other wagons could then easily follow in. And if you and I want to be led in the paths of righteousness, then we need to take to heart that these paths have already been established for us and clearly defined for us by God and His Word. And they will always accord then with the perfect will of God that has been revealed in that same Word. If we want to walk according to the leading of the shepherd, then we need to pay close attention to every word that God has spoken in and through the Bible. And that's what we've been trying to stress now for weeks. But we can't emphasize it enough. For notice the plural word paths that is used here. It's meant to suggest that we're not free to pick and choose which parts of the Bible we like or we don't like. were to yield ourselves to the will of God in everything, in every path that He directs us and leads us to. And there's no possibility of living a life of holiness and happiness if we think we can simply bypass parts of the Word of God and we fail to walk in obedience to the whole counsel of God. And the sad fact is that many people, sometimes even within the professing church, seem to have got it into their heads that obedience to rules and regulations is a restrictive thing. And they scoff at words like rules or commandments and law, as though they've gotten beyond the need for these things. But my dear friend, the complete opposite is the case. God's word is described in James as His perfect law of liberty because it's designed to set us free from every false and harmful way of living when we do follow its direction. That's why James says, he who looks into God's perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And the good shepherd's care and concern for his sheep, it's actually demonstrated in the giving of rules then to guide and direct them in all that they do. Now, these things have been given for our good so that we can enjoy life within the parameters that God has set for us. And if you think that you're smarter than God and you can throw off God's commandments as restrictive and archaic and boring, and you think you do know better than God, then you'll discover, my friend, that God will send leanness into your soul and you will learn by bitter experience that the wisdom of this world, it is foolishness with God. You see, however much you may feel happier for a time by following the world's standards and ways, you will find that ultimately they will only leave you feeling hollow and empty in the inside. As we've said before, the way to be truly happy is by walking in the way of holiness. And never forget that God has joined holiness and happiness together, while sin and misery go hand in hand with one another. And God's purpose in leading His people is always to make them more and more holy by transforming us more and more into the image of Christ. That's the whole reason He called them to Himself and brought them within the sheepfold to begin with. And that is always the end goal then. The good shepherd constantly has in view as he goes before the sheep to lead them. And if we have no desire in our hearts to be holy as God is holy, then and we don't love His commandments and seek, however imperfectly, to obey them, then we need to ask ourselves, do I truly know the shepherd at all? For He leads His sheep in the paths of righteousness or holiness, as David says, for His name's sake. And you see, that's what we always need to remember. The Good Shepherd's name is intimately connected with the walk and the conduct of His people, just as a shepherd's name and reputation is intimately bound up with the condition and behavior of his sheep. But you see, it's only as we walk in the paths of righteousness that we will uphold the reputation of our good shepherd and actually reveal that we are his sheep. Because the way we live, everything that we do, it reflects upon him. And his name suffers badly, therefore, when we wander out of the way that he has marked for us in his word. And we don't live and act as we ought. That's why we are exhorted so clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Because you see, if we don't, it's our Savior's name that gets dragged through the gutter. And child of God, hear then. Always remember who you are and who you serve, wherever you go and in whatever you are doing in life. For however difficult and challenging the way may be at times, which the Lord leads you, you are called to faithfully follow Him through good or through evil report. And you see, it's only when we do so that we can expect to bring glory and honor to the name of our good shepherd. And that should be the goal and desire of every child of God. And so I say in closing, look to Him then at all times to lead you and strengthen you to do His will. And you will find that His grace is sufficient to enable you to walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen.
Let us now pray. Our loving Shepherd, we do thank You that You've reminded us once again of Your love and Your care for the sheep that have been entrusted to You. And we do thank You, Lord, for the restoring work that You do in our lives when we wander away from You, when we go astray and we seek out our own way in life, and yet Your hand is still upon us, Your eye is ever upon us, and Your heart remains ever toward us, for You will never leave or forsake Your sheep. You have bound Yourself to them, and You do take care of them. And we do thank You then for all the time and energy that You have invested in us, in spite of all of our many failures and shortcomings over the years. You have always been there to help us, to lift us back up, to put us back on our feet, and to go before us once again, and to call out to us, and to seek to lead us in the way that is right, and to instruct us in the knowledge of the things that belong to our peace. And we do thank You then for Your word that You have given to us to be our guide, to instruct us and show us the way that we should go in life. And we pray that we would love Your word and we would hearken to it, that we would seek to order our lives and how we think and in everything we do in its light. And we pray then that You would bless and apply it to us, that we would be led in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And we pray, Lord, that we would be very conscious that if we do name the name of Christ, we are under a solemn obligation to depart from iniquity, to turn our back on the world and its ways and everything that is sinful and displeasing to You, for You are glorified when we bring forth much fruit. And we pray then, Lord, that all of us would abide in You like the branch in the vine. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would work to prune and work by Your Spirit to enable us to produce much fruit. And we pray that everything that we do would be done to Your honor and to Your glory. Lead us, guide us, be with us the rest of this day, and bring us out again this afternoon, and keep us in Your fear, we ask. Take away every sin, we ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.